Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher, and now I spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make Easy EdTech integration a possibility in your classroom. You may be familiar with my books, like Tasks Before Apps, or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference, a special event, I've visited your school, or you followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or maybe even just joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. Each week, I share popular content from my blog and brand new content in audio format. Sometimes I read aloud a blog post and add a few extra things, and other times I share ideas or stories that have come along with my most recent travels. All in audio format, so you can sit back, press play, and listen along. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and any of the free downloads I mention. I have some big announcements coming up over the next few months, so make sure you're on my newsletter list by heading to classtechtips.com/signup. You'll find it on the podcast page too. When you sign up for the newsletter, you'll instantly get access to my free EdTech guides with lots of tips I know you'll love. This week's podcast is titled Tech-Friendly Student Storytelling Activity. If you've worked with elementary school-age students, you know they have stories to tell. Whether they are recounting an adventure on the playground, sharing a special moment from a birthday party, or crafting their own imagined narrative, students of all ages are storytellers. Last month, I had the opportunity to work with a fantastic group of 6, 7, and 8-year-old students in New York City. In this podcast episode, I'll share an engaging storytelling activity for kids that you may want to replicate in your classroom with your students or with the teachers and students you support. Don't let that elementary term scare you away from listening to this episode. Although I'm anchoring this conversation in some real life experience I had just a few weeks ago with early elementary school students, these strategies I'm going to share with you are very scalable depending on the group of students that you're working with. Same thing goes with the term storytelling. This is going to be a podcast where I share a narrative writing style activity, but the technology tips that I share to go along with it are ones that you could take in a few different directions depending on where you're working this year. So this action-packed week of programming that I'm going to feature in this podcast episode took place at the Cooper Hewitt Design Museum in New York City. I was invited to lead programming for this group of enthusiastic students, or campers since it's summertime, for a week this past July. If you followed along on Instagram, you learned that I used to live just a few blocks from the museum and taught at an elementary school less than a mile away. I used to walk by the museum sometimes, depending on which route I took in the morning. It was on my walk to work. So it was lots of fun participating in this digital storytelling activity at the museum in July, and also having a chance to spend some time in my old neighborhood. But let's jump first into this activity. For this tech-friendly student storytelling activity, students told a story in 5 parts. They created bitmap illustrations using paper and markers and added colorful captions to each scene that they drew using the tool Adobe Spark Post. Now, you've probably heard me mention Adobe Spark before. If you followed along on the blog or listened to the podcast, I've worked with the Adobe team. I love their stuff, and even wrote a book with Ben Forda titled 40 Ways to Inject Creativity into the Classroom with Adobe Spark. So big fan of that tool. But over a few days during this summer camp setup, students went from sharing their story ideas with a partner, talking it out with that other camper, to illustrating their characters using a bitmap grid. Then they used written words to break down each piece of their story. Here's a quick rundown of the resources you'll need for this particular activity, with more explanation to come in just a bit. Remember, you might not have a storytelling activity with your kiddos, but want to use some of these resources in a different way. First, you'll need the storytelling planning pages using a first, then, next, next, finally format. You can use your own, customize it for your group, or try out the free downloads I created, and you can find them at classtechtips.com/podcast on the podcast episode for this one, episode number 28. You'll see I linked to them right there. Next, you'll need activity pages for illustrations. We used a grid so kids could color in the boxes to incorporate a discussion on bitmaps. If you're not familiar with bitmaps, they're just the pixelated images used with computer animations. So you might use a plain piece of paper, you might use more of a coloring book style page. We used a grid and had kids draw in their own characters. Finally, you'll need Spark Post on iOS or on the web. And you can find out more information on setting up your school by going to spark.adobe.com/edu as well. I'll make sure to link to that resource and the others I've mentioned already in the show notes for this episode, which you can find at classtechtips.com/podcast. We began with storytelling prompts for students to start off this tech-friendly storytelling activity. At the start of the program, students were given design challenges that sparked a story idea. So if you're planning this activity to align with your own standards, student interests, or cross-curricular connections, you might want to take that into consideration. For example, if you are exploring community roles with students, you might ask them to tell a story about the day in the life of someone in their community. Alternatively, if you know your students are excited about video games, you might ask them to tell a story about a character who overcame a challenge in a video game. If those same students are learning how to tell a story in sequence, you might introduce temporal words and ask them to include temporal words to signal the passage of time in their video game story. That's where that first, then, next, finally comes into play. Well, once you've established your storytelling prompt, ask students to share their story with a partner. They can talk it out first before using a planning page to document each scene of their story. With the group of students I worked with during this activity, we focused on having a sentence or two to go along with each of the five scenes of their story. You'll want to model for students your expectations, and that might vary depending on the content you're teaching. Next up, illustrating a scene. During this program, I introduced the concept of bitmaps to students, and they created illustrations of their characters by coloring each box of a grid. We use this as an opportunity to discuss the way graphics are created on computers before even opening up the Surface tablets and talking about Spark Post. You might decide to have students illustrate scenes from their story with an online drawing tool, construction paper to make a collage, or using grid paper like we did. There is no right way to have students create an illustration for a story. However, if you will want students to have a picture file, they can upload to Spark Post. So if you are going to do it that way, where kids are going to create some sort of illustration, you're just going to want to make sure that if it's on the computer, they'll export it and save it to their device so they have that JPEG file. Or if students create an illustration or collage on paper, they'll have to snap a picture so it saves to their computer. Your workflow will vary depending on your device. So if students are working on paper, you might want them to snap a picture of their drawing using the webcam so it saves automatically to their device. The big goal here is to have some picture that students have made. Make sure that it turns into a file and it's saved on the computer or tablet they're going to use, because the next step for this project is to have students create a poster using Spark Post, one poster for each of their scenes of their story. They're going to do this by adding that picture file to their device, uploading it to Spark Post, and adding a caption for each scene. Instead of having students snap pictures using the webcam on their device when I was leading this program for 6, 7, and 8-year-olds a few weeks ago, the amazing team at Cooper Hewitt actually scanned each of the students' 5 drawings. Then they uploaded each student's drawings to a folder on the corresponding device that kiddo was using. This way, when students came back to their device, the picture files of their illustrations were ready for them to access. Then students opened up Spark Post, logged into their account, and since this week of storytelling took place over the summertime, families set up an account for each of their children. And if you're working in a school and need to set up Spark for Education, it's totally free. Then your kiddos who are under 13 can have their own accounts as well. So once students are able to draw their picture, add it to their device, then they're going to need to set up their Spark Post, their poster for each scene. Once students open up Spark Post, they will see the options to create a project using graphics, web pages, and videos. And for this activity, they should choose the option to create a new graphic. Now, I have a step-by-step guide that goes along with this podcast, so I'm kind of talking out the steps to you. And if you are someone who likes to see the visuals along step-by-step, don't worry. If you go to the show notes for this podcast episode, classtechtips.com/podcast, you'll see a link where I take you out to all the pictures that go along with it. I know sometimes it's hard to envision something without those pictures right by it, so just know that that's going to be there for you as a resource. After students choose the option to create a new graphic, then they can choose a size for their poster. Now, we asked students to select 8.5 by 11 because we knew we would print out their final creations onto cardstock paper to display. However, you can have students choose any option for their sizing. Totally up to you, but of course, having your end game in mind might help with that. You might also decide you want everyone's to be the same size, so you might just want to start with that up front. After opening Spark and choosing a graphic size, students are then prompted to upload their own photo. In our case, the kiddos already had the images of their illustrations saved to their device. You'll want to make sure students upload their pictures at this step, since it'll be the background for their poster. With Spark Post, the last step of this activity is adding captions right on top of their image to create a poster. Since this group of students already used a planning page, they knew what they wanted the captions to say. You might want students to refer to any planning they've done at this stage in the project as well. Using the text option, they can add their captions to their poster. Then students can change the color, font, and size of any captions. Here are a few tips for this last step. Adobe Spark will use the colors in the illustration to suggest colors for the text. This is an excellent opportunity to talk about artificial intelligence with students, since the computer is using the information on the screen, the colors in the photo, to make a decision. Also, we had students use the layout feature to add a color block to make sure the captions didn't mask any of their drawings. This way, there was plenty of space for their awesome illustration as well as for the text that went along with each scene of their story. Now, students added their name to the first poster they created. Similar to adding their name to a title slide or book cover, this was an awesome thing to include. That way, when we started to print them out, we knew exactly whose was whose. When students finished adding captions to each of their posters, they downloaded each scene as a PDF file. With their finished products in PDF format, each student had 5 posters that represented scenes from their stories. The awesome team at Cooper Hewitt set up displays for each student with their printed final product. This way, they could show off their creations at a special family celebration that capped off the week. Now, for this storytelling activity, I shared how we combined student illustrations by uploading them onto a computer and bringing them into Spark Post to add captions and choose colors for backgrounds, making 5 Spark Post creations for each student to show the first, then next, next, finally for their story. You could take a couple different spins on this to scale them for the needs of your group. For example, you might totally skip the illustration step and just have students search for pictures within Spark Post. Spark Post searches for royalty-free images from Unsplash and Pixabay, so kids might still do the same story planning, skip the illustration, and just jot down a couple keywords that they'll use to search for pictures to go in the background. Another spin. Instead of a narrative storytelling project like this, you might have students show the steps to complete a science experiment or make 5 posters that show the steps to solve a math problem. Totally up to you. If you'd like to get started with Adobe Spark, I put together a blog post full of these awesome quick start videos that Ben Forda made. Ben and I wrote a book all about using Spark called 40 Ways to Inject Creativity in the Classroom with Adobe Spark. I'll link to it here in the show notes for the podcast episode, but of course you could just do an Amazon search and it's probably the first thing that comes up when you type in Adobe Spark. It's bright yellow. It's hard to miss. I can't wait to hear about your take on the storytelling activity, so make sure to leave a comment in the podcast post or wherever you're listening with your own spin. So let's make this EdTech easy. Introduce students to a storytelling framework, maybe a 5-scene summary of a story. Provide students time to illustrate their stories. Snap pictures of their scenes so they can access them on their computer. And finally, add captions using Spark Post and share student stories. I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. Tell a friend about the podcast or post a link to the episode on your social media. And if you'd like to stay connected, follow @ClassTechTips on Instagram or your favorite social network. I visit schools and conferences all over the world, so if your organization is in need of professional learning, just send a message my way. See you next week with more easy EdTech tips.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech podcast wherever you're listening.